there, and welcome to the first ever episode of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press comics aim to make one hell of a big noise. I'm your host, Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mouse from Mars and Stalkerville, and joining me for this road trip into the world of independent comic book awesome source, writer, artist, and creator of the ongoing superhero webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And the Ayatollah of rock and roller and all-round uber comics enthusiast, Tony Esmond.
Oh, good God. You're right.
Oh, it's downhill from here, boys. Downhill from here. Now, before we kick off our first ever show properly and laying some verbal smackdown, I just wanted to let all you lovely listeners know what we plan to do with this show. Call it an origin show, if you will. There's a whole ton of comic book and geekery themed podcasts out there, and I myself listen to quite a few when I'm working. But we're hoping to do something a little different with this show. We want to shine a light onto the small press and independent comic book scene and showcase some of the amazing books, ideas and creations that are out there that some of you may not have heard of. Plus, we aim to answer a whole bunch of important questions too, such as, have you ever wanted to know more about creating your own comics? Wondered what kind of things influence and inspire some of those cool creators you ended up having a huge chat with at the last convention you went to? Do you want to know more about the next upcoming convention in your neck of the woods? And do you want to discover the next comic book series that you're going to love even more than your own mum? Then you're in the right place. We've got some ace guests lined up from all corners of the small press and indie scene, and not only will we be finding out about their work and where to get it, we'll be getting some insight into how they work, what inspires them, what they're reading, etc., etc., and all that jazz. I know when I certainly started to do small press comics, I heavily got into podcasts, and that's kind of what made me want to do comics in the first place. So hopefully this will be the sort of show that gets a few more people picking up their pens and typing into their Word documents and generally making their own comics. Now, predominantly, we'll be focusing mostly on the UK scene, because frankly, if we open it up completely to the world, we'll never have enough hours in our lifetime to cover it all. Although, I'm sure Tony would give it a good go, wouldn't you, Tony?
Yeah. Yeah,
you read bloody everything. We're also not going to give you huge reviews and opinions on the numerous titles from the big two publishers. That's not to say we won't give a shout-out to some series we're reading, because I read a lot of big two books. And
me too.
Yeah, and if I think it's worthy of your attention, then I'm going to shout about it. It's as simple as that, and I think we'll all do the same. So with that in mind, thank you very much for checking out the first episode of this podcast. It's probably going to be a little bit Mad Max Fury Road in sense of it's going to be 90 minutes of absolute chaos, but let's go for it. So yeah. Without further ado, how are we doing, fellas? Are we all right?
Good.
I'm good.
What have you been up to this week?
I've done a few reviews for Down the Tubes. I've been sent like so many. It's just trying to keep up with the books I get sent, really. But yeah, I've managed a few, and I mostly read on the train and stuff on the way into work. I don't know about you two, but I mostly sort of read my comics that way, you know.
Do you read them hard copies, or is it all sort of digital?
It's a bit of a combination. If it's stuff that small press, generally I get sent it to review for Down the Tubes, so it tends to be digital. And I read it on an iPad, but everything else, hard copy. I very rarely read off Comixology, sometimes off Sequential, but mostly hard copy that way, yeah.
I haven't tried Sequential. I read a lot on Comixology. Well, I read my main two books on Comixology, and occasionally I check out the Comixology Submit, which is quite cool, you know, because you get some absolute bargain books there that are, like, just awesome. But, yeah, I'll read all my big two on like, my Kindle, and then I've got like a big, an ever-growing stack of small press comics.
I've never got into that kind of digital comic reading, honestly. I'm mostly kind of like trades, and I will read the odd one. Like you say, like people send me PDFs of their kind of small press comic and kind of go that way. But I kind of old school in the fact that I do like to have a book in my hand.
Me too. I agree. Yeah.
Do you get much of a chance to head to your comic book shop, your local CBS, as they call?
I used to work just around the corner from Orbital. It was literally a 5-minute walk from my office, so I'd go in there like a couple of times a week. But now we've moved to Southwark, and it's a little more of a trek. For those listeners who don't know, there's kind of train problems at London Bridge, and they're kind of reformatting the kind of platforms or whatever. And there's no direct train. It's a real pain to get over there. I say a pain. It's about a 30-minute walk.
Jesus. People are walking across deserts. Yeah, what's wrong with
you? I've got to go and pick up. I've got, like, a load of comics sitting there. I've got to go up and pick up. So, yeah, they can look forward to my
patience. You have to take an extra big bag when you go next time.
Yeah.
I love Orbital Comics. I will say that. Whenever I'm in London, I mean, I don't get a chance to go to London that much. But whenever I'm there, it's almost like Orbital is one of my stops.
Yeah, it's mine as well. My local comic book shop. Yeah, it's great. Love it in there. Yeah.
I'll give them a shout out. I can tweet them and say, "Have you got this in stock?" They'll say, "Yes." Put it aside for me, and I'll go and get it. That's brilliant. It's great customer service.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, and they always have events. I've got a little gallery. You know, they've got a small press wing. It's good. Yeah. No, I like them a lot. Good guys.
Yeah. Because you're both from London, aren't you? And I'm from Bath. I live in Bath. I don't know why I said it like that. I live in Bath. I'm quite possibly the most common man you'll ever meet, so I don't know why I'm thinking like that.
So what's your local comic book shop?
There's a little comic book shop in Bath that I frequent sometimes. I occasionally pop in. But I think it's normally like when I think Bristol. There's a couple in Bristol. And Forbidden Planet's always a sort of a go-to. I know they're the sort of mainstream one. A lot of it's all toys and, you know, you'll be hard-pressed to find some of it. But if there's a Forbidden Planet or a comic book shop anywhere I go, I'll go there.
You know. Right, yeah. Do you remember Comics International? You used to be able to look in the back and see whatever town you're in.
Yeah.
You used to be able to look up and see if there's a comic shop. But, if I'm on work and I'm working somewhere, I don't know, like Leeds or Manchester or something, I'll always seek out the shop, you know what I mean? Just give it a go.
Well, I mean, I grew up like sort of in a small town in Dorset, and like you had to trek God knows how long to find your comic book store. There wasn't anything near. So to have sort of comic books, that's why when I go to London, comic books, I can go to comic book stores.
Well, in central London, there's like in that kind of square mile, there's you got Forbidden, Gosh, Orbital. There used to be a place on Brewer Street that did comics. They were like secondhand ones. But that's gone and moved on now, unfortunately.
There's a place in Notting Hill. You know, there's a few places sort of really central. Yeah, it's pretty good for that, actually. Mm. You can do a little tour, can't you?
Yeah. You know?
And then we've got the Comic Marts. I think it's every other month now, I think. And they're pretty fun to go to, you know, for back issues and stuff.
So what sort of thing is that, then? Is that just like a straight-up sort of market sort of thing?
Yeah, it's like a lot of brown paper in boxes and a lot of sort of...
Because you love a back issue.
I do. Yeah, I do.
You were telling me about that pick up the worst back issue.
Oh, yeah. Me and some pals have a shittest comic competition for under £1. And then we just sort of go around the mart and try and find the shittest comic. There's a couple of people who we aren't allowed to include because it would be too easy. I'm not saying their name, but they can't draw feet. So we have a sort of shit comic competition. That's pretty fun. Yeah. And the winner gets all the comics that are shit. So it sort of works out quite well.
You both win and lose.
Yeah. I'll post some actually. I'll put some on the Facebook page. Winners and losers. Yeah.
Nice.
That's
right. Nice.
But yeah. And what's everyone been reading? What's the sort of thing recently this week?
Well, obviously Cardiff Expo was last weekend. So as always, I've got a small little stack of books that whenever I get away from my table, I'm always sort of checking out the small press stuff that I haven't picked up yet. And I finally got around to picking up the first three issues of Stiffs. Have any of you read Stiffs?
I've not read that, no.
Not heard of that one, no.
It's a... let's see, I've got it in front of me here. Written by Drew Davies, PJ Montgomery and Joseph Glass.
I know Joe Glass. I've heard he writes Pride, doesn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I've seen him at cons, yeah.
And the art is by Gavin Mitchell, who also has done a fair bit on the Pride, I believe. And I think Gavin Mitchell and PJ Montgomery have just worked on a Kickstarter called The Troll Tooth Wars. I don't know if you've heard anything about that.
I've come across that.
Yeah. I know nothing about that, so we might have to get them on at some point and just talk about that. But Stiffs is, it seems at first to be like a standard zombie sort of style comic, you know, guy in a world infested by zombies. And he has a pet monkey that talks to him.
Right.
So immediately, pet monkey that talks, I'm in. But there's a hell of a lot more to it. And as you read, it's not just zombies. There are other things going on, you know. There's demons, vampires, all kind of witchcraft. but it's done in a real sort of, there's a great sense of humour going all the way through it. It's very British, if you know what I mean.
Nice.
It's got this real British feel about it, like, you know, people down the pub sort of dialogue. You know, it sounds like sort of, the dialogue is witty and sounds like the sort of stuff you would hear in a pub. It's not, it doesn't sound like someone trying to write people in a pub. The art's fantastic. Obviously, this is the first three issues. I mean, I think the first one was published in 2011. So it's been, I mean, obviously with small press.
Yeah.
Things take time. And like, I'm not sure how many issues they've got after issue three. I think they've got a couple more. But it just gets better and better. And I thoroughly enjoyed reading all that. And there's a, they had a little bit of PR recently, which I thought was brilliant. It was Johnny Vegas was at the London Super Comic Con, I believe.
Yeah, he walked past me, actually, yeah. And then he suddenly appeared in 2018, didn't he?
Yeah, he walked around buying pretty much, from what I gather, every single small press comic he could get his hands on.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah, which I thought was great, because there was a lot of guys I saw like taking selfies with Johnny Vegas with their book and stuff, which is great.
Yeah.
Fantastic PR. But then, I don't know how this came about, but he was on Loose Women.
Where are we going with this? Come on. Yeah.
There was a screenshot of him, and I think they were just interviewing him about something. And he had the issues of Stiff. He was reading Stiffs at the time. And it was great because when I saw them at their table at Cardiff Expo, they put on a little sticker on their banner, as seen on Loose Women, which I thought was fantastic.
It's not been the same since Jane McDonald left, I've got to tell you. It's not as good.
I think we're finding out a bit more about you than we really need to, Tony. Stiffs, well worth a look. I mean, if you're a zombie fan, there's thousands of zombie books out there.
Yeah, I'll get one or two a week.
This one's worth a look. It's, you know, it looks good. There's more to it, and highly recommended.
So the Stiffs refer to the zombies and nothing else. Is that what you're saying?
What it is, and it's the Stiffs. They're all sort of they've got full time jobs. So all of the main characters are working class Stiffs. If you know what
right.
I mean.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Obviously, got a double meaning in there.
There's some nice stuff in the back of the issues as well. Sort of like, you know, behind the scenes, like when they were going to call it, I think, Zombie Killing Squad or something like that.
I'm glad they went with Stiffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am as well. Yeah,
yeah. Because it gives it a whole new sort of meaning. Zombie Death Squad, that was what it was originally going to be called.
Okay.
And then, then they realised that there's more than zombies in it, you know, and the story's got a lot more to it. So
zombies are dead anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We could interject here and say that when you're about to decide on the name of your webcomic that you're going to do, or small press comic, do vast amounts of research into the name. Yeah. To make sure no one else is using it and it sounds good. Also, stuff like web domain, is that free? Because quite late in the game in regards to kind of getting domain names. So I'm not sure if you search for stiffs.com, what would come up. But
yeah, I was going to say, my small press comic, Chicks with Dicks, just didn't know.
I'll tell you what, though, it's a bloody good website, though. Yeah, I'll say that.
Yeah. .org is the best one, definitely.
No, it's a good comic. I in the back, Adam Cadwell, I believe.
He's a good guy. I met him the other day. Yeah,
yeah. He suggested. He lettered issue one. Book. Yeah. Yeah, and then when they were trying to come up with a name, he suggested it, and they went with it.
Cool.
Well, worth checking out. Though, I mean, like I say, it's been around for a while, but at Cardiff, it was my first chance to pick it up, and like I like to do, I like to get a series from issue one. You know, I like to get the first two issues. Yeah. Sometimes you see, like, a book has got, like, you know, even though they're small press, they've got, like, 12 books. And I can't possibly buy all 12 of it in one go, but I'll definitely get issue one.
Yeah.
Which sometimes the creators go, you know, they have said to me before, yeah, issue one's great. It gets better as it goes along. Because obviously when you do your first issue, the next one's always going to be better, and the next one after that is going to be better. I frankly, you know, I don't, you know, I just like love starting a story at issue one. So the amount of issue ones I've got,
definitely. Yeah.
There's a lot of indie comics that are just issue one. To be fair,
yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah,
that's the trouble. I'd like to get like 1, 2, 3, so I know this has got a kind of foothold.
Yeah,
at one, you're taking a chance, and then it doesn't go anywhere. You're like, okay.
Sometimes you see like a Kickstarter from 2012, and then the comic comes out in 2015, and you think, I ain't seeing issue two. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, with Kickstarters, you kind of got a guarantee
what you're going to get at the end
it's
of the
like
day.
It's like being a professional gambler sometimes, I think, Kickstarter. You kind of, yeah, you've got to take your chance. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was that chap that did the comic, didn't he? Like, got all the books printed and then just burnt them all.
Yeah.
I remember hearing about that. And, like, just sort of saying, you're not going to get your money back. Here's a picture of your copy being burnt.
That's proper punk, isn't it? If that was done in the 80s, you'd think that's cool. But now we just slag him off, don't we? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who wins there? Do you know what I mean? No one wins. That's kind of the nuke approach. Everyone dies.
The nuke approach. That sounds like a straight to DVD film with Dean Cain in it.
Or a WWF move.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, don't get me started. What about you guys? What are you guys reading at the moment?
Dan, do you want to go? Or?
Oh, okay. I reread Paper Cuts and Ink Stains, which does have a zombie sequence in it as well. I mean, issue 2, I think, is just coming off the press any time now.
Obviously, you both read my review of it this week. Thanks for reading that. Cheers.
Yeah.
So, give us your thoughts on issue 2, because I've only seen the cover.
I think you did the cover to one, didn't you?
I did, yeah. It's a bit of a whiff of nepotism in the air, but yeah, I did. Front cover to issue 1. It was doing the cover for that. I was given all the stories and said, right, we want you to kind of put all the elements from the various stories into the cover. And I think it's 3 or 4 stories, all done by different artists, but the writer, Rob Jones, he pens it all. And there's a great zombie tale on that. There's the Prophets of Doom, which is an excellent story, and there's the other story which I can't recall right now, and I foolishly left a comic downstairs, which is handy because I'm talking about it. But it's that kind of British slant on the tales, and they're really vivid characters, and I honestly really excited to see issue 2. So
I've heard nothing but good things about both issues, you know.
Yeah, they're good guys. Issue 2, apart from the cover, obviously, is probably an improvement, I'd say. Yeah, really, really good. I was very impressed with it.
Fluffing Dan's ego.
Yeah, that's all right, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, good. Hey, pal. The issue 2's got Neil Tambrook and Rob Jones again, sort of constants in it. Different sort of rotating art teams. It's got the same sort of hooded... what do you call them, wizards in it, and the sort of Cthulhu thing. Yeah, it's got that. That's a continuing story, which is good, and I have to say I really like that. And it's got a sort of suburban Emmerdale meets a werewolf type story, which is pretty good.
Excellent.
And a sort of alien pastiche, sort of cheap alien pastiche sort of thing, you know. It looks like a Full Moon movie from the 80s or something like that, you know. It's one of those sort of cheap director DVD sort of butter comic book.
I'm in.
Yeah, good, really interesting. Yeah, and they're certainly pumping them out. I think, 3 must be in the planning stages now, I think.
I can give you a bit of inside goss there. I'm doing a story for 3.
Oh, cool.
Rob's penned it, and I'm drawing it.
Oh, nice one. Brilliant.
Yeah, Rob's a great guy, actually. I remember he was a staunch supporter of the Red Mask and stuff. And then all of a sudden he starts, you know, he doesn't so much hit the scene with a bang. It's like a bloody nuclear bomb went off, you know, because you know, Paper Cuts and Ink Stains. Then is it Madius Comics? Is that how you
say it? That's it,
yeah.
And they are just churning out stuff, which is great. I love their logo as well. Great logo.
Yeah, I do actually. I'm just looking at that now. Yeah, it is nice, isn't it? Yeah, very distinctive.
I think they've got like 2 or 3 titles. Is it under their belt already?
Is it Jay Gonzo? Who's that guy Gonzo? He does one as well, isn't he? I can't think of the life.
Nick Gonzo.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, sort of newspaper strippy sort of thing. Yeah, nice.
Yeah. I got a chance to hang out with Nick Gonzo at Thought Bubble last year.
Right.
Had a few pints with him. He's a good laugh.
He's crazy, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Cool. Apart from the greatest comic in the history of the world, Airboy 2, which I don't know if you two read that, the James Robinson Image book.
I haven't yet. I've heard a lot about it.
Yeah, Jesus, that's a good book, honestly. Yeah, I know he's not strictly small press, but I just thought I'd give him a shout out because he's had a lot of shit over the last couple of days around it. And I have to say, it's nothing but an amazing book to me. You know?
That's going on my little list here to read.
Yeah. Do you say he had a lot of shit over it?
Yeah, he's had it features some transsexuals. He's apologised for their depiction in it, but I just found it quite honest, you know. But it didn't strike me that way. I have to say, personally, It didn't strike me like that. But it's basically when he came from DC, he moved from DC, and he got given a project image to do Airboy, which is obviously this sort of real old school character, you know, sort of World War II character.
Yeah.
And he couldn't do it. So him and Greg Hinkle just go on a proper mental bender, doing an awful lot of drugs, an awful lot of drink, and they sort of hallucinate. Airboy appearing in front of them and telling them not to do stuff, and that's kind of where it's just bare your chest, autobiographical, you know, cathartic. It's just incredible. And I sat next to him, like, I'm not dropping names, but I sat next to him last year in New York, and I said, "Oh, you're doing Airboy, aren't you?" And he went, "Yeah, Tony, it's probably not what you think it's going to be." And I went, "Oh, is it a bit lively?" And he went, "Yeah, you could say that." And he sort of laughed. And the next thing you know, it's like, I think the penis count's about one per panel. In it, to be fair.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, but just a shout out to him, because he's, you know, such a good guy, and he's getting a bit of shit around it, and it's just a brilliant, brilliant book, brilliant book. But otherwise, I've had a few small press through this week. I got When Life Hands You Lemons, Check for Limes, which is a book by Phil Gerigscott, a small press book. He's got on a Kickstarter about, basically about having sore knees. It's a bit weird. It's kind of sort of an autobiographical book about his sore knees and how he sort of copes with it and goes on holiday with sore knees. But it's sort of, it's very sort of comics with an X, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he writes songs about it. And it's just sort of, I didn't like it at first. And John said, "Oh, can you read it?" I said, "I don't know if I like it, John." And he says, "Well, have another read," sort of thing. Or get on with it, shut up. And I ended up thinking, no, this is really good. I kind of... really, you really feel for the guy, and it almost becomes an education. You know, when you meet someone who's always going, "Oh, I've got an arthritic arm or something," and you go, "Oh, grow up, you know, just get on with your job," and you don't sort of appreciate that they are actually in pain, you know. And it sort of hammers that home, and it's nice. It's a little bit like Jeffrey Brown, his sort of style. He's self-publishing, sort of very sort of scratchy small panels, you know. Then there's single panels with just the sort of picture of a kneecap on it or something like that. Yeah. And it's quite sort of scattershot like that. Yeah. But yeah, good. Really nice.
That's the sort of side of like small press that, you know, I don't read much of, to be honest. I mean, a lot of stuff I, you know, it's almost like big two sort of stories, but on a small press sort of scale.
Yeah, there's room for everything, I think.
Yeah, right? There's totally room for everything. And like, I think is it the Comiquette, which the British Library, that was pretty much that kind of small press
stuff. Oh, I met you there, didn't I?
Yeah, that was the first time we met there. And there was all these sort of real-life comic books, and then, like, The Red Mass from Mars, which is about an astronaut with an alien on his face.
By far one of the best things ever. I think Comica, if you haven't got a pipe and a beard, I think it's a bit unusual, you know?
Yeah.
I love them. I love all these people. But, you know, I think you should be able to fit in places like that. You should be able to sell your comic, you know?
Yeah.
Not all about, you know... autobiographical, you know.
I mean, I personally think that, you know, I sound a bit sort of new age, but everything's great, you know, just you shouldn't judge other people for what they're doing, do you know what I mean? Just because something might not be my cup of tea, I'm not going to say, oh, you know, that's below me, you know.
Except, well, the kind of medium is there so, like, these people can make these comics and tell their stories. I mean, there's stuff that I've been given, and I think I would never have kind of picked up myself and said, "They read this." I've done it, so I'm really grateful. I have. It's great. It's excellent. Yeah.
And I've discovered so many small press sort of comics, like since like being on the scene, like getting to know these people. You sort of get to know them, and then like, oh yeah, you know, then you know, pick up a copy of their book, and I've just discovered so many good titles that way, you know. Mm. And it's sometimes it's stuff that you might not have picked up necessarily.
Indeed.
Yeah. So it's so much good stuff going on.
There's room for it all in there. I mean, you've got to read the spread of it. You just can't stick to one sort of style, I think, can you?
Yeah.
You know, otherwise you wouldn't read just one kind of novel all the time, would you? You know, you wouldn't read about bank robberies all day long if it was a novel, but, you know, definitely, yeah.
Mix it up, definitely.
Yeah, cool. Shall I do that segue now, Vince?
Yes, segue away.
Speaking of small press comics, I understand you two guys do them. How did that go? That was all right, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was
beautiful. That was smooth. that won't need any editing.
They won't notice that transition.
I'm so good at this. It's only my first time. It's incredible. Yeah. Anyway, I apologise. Cut what you like out of that one, Geezer.
So
you're doing Vanguard at the moment.
Oh, you're going to come to me first. Okay. I'm literally just coming to the end of issue 10 of Vanguard. So, yeah, I've been doing that for a fair old while now. But I've not actually done a convention of it in all the years I've been doing it.
The day I found that surprising, dude, because you're so sort of on the scene, you know, always see your stuff, and you know, but you've never sort of sat at your own table, sort of thing, you mean?
Well, no, I've been on tables for other people and drawn, like, for Raynard City, I've done that. I've been on their tables a couple of times, or a few times, and I've drawn for them whenever I've done an issue. I think over the past 5 or 6 years, I've done about 3 or 4 complete issues for them as well. But yeah, I just never really got around to it. It was odd because when I first started it, I was starting a new job. And then a couple of years after that, thinking, yeah, I'll do this. And then my son came along. It's like, okay, that's got to go on the back burner, but I still carry on doing the comic. But now it's coming to a point now where I can actually like get it all printed up and then start doing some cons of it.
Yeah.
Which is the plan.
Because the thing is, you're on issue 10, but it's a webcomic, isn't it? You're updating it. Is it twice weekly?
Yeah, it's two pages a week. Yeah, it's mainly a bar a few occasions. It's twice a week.
Yeah, and so these are full colour lettered. Mm. You know, every page is like a proper piece. It's not like
it's hard work.
That's you know, especially like working small press to bust out that you know 2 pages every week must be hard work.
What's your honestly, process kind of, that, Dan?
Well, usually it's kind of for plotting. You're going to hit out all the kind of key points you want to hit in an issue, right. Mainly starting at where you want to end it in the grand tale of it. Break that down into pages, and then it's thumbnails, pencils, inks, scanning it in, and then colouring it all up in Photoshop. Right. I'm very old school in regards to kind of the pencil and the inking. Yeah. I've yet to kind of go digital. But essentially, that's probably down to kind of budgetary reasons as opposed to anything else. If someone said, like, here's a Wacom, the latest Wacom tablet, away you go, I'd probably be digital straight away.
Yeah. What's the same sort of elevator pitch for it, dude? What's the, for people who haven't read it, I mean, we've read it, but
It's set in a kind of near future where kind of everything's going a bit tits up in the world. And it focuses on British superheroes employed by the government. And how they kind of it's hard to tell you too much about giving it away, but essentially they start uncovering a plot to see that everything that's kind of going down seems like it's been planned, and they try and get to the bottom of it.
Okay.
It's a no hold barred comic.
It's very violent. I have to say that that's kind of, well, if you, I always wanted to do a comic there where if characters died, that was it. There's an absolute kind of underscore. If a character's dead, they're dead. So there'd always be a threat of death in the comic book. Mm. One of the things that kind of grinds my gears, if we can say that, is when characters die and then they come back 2 weeks later. I mean, there's no loss. There's no kind of peril.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
They become less a character and more a property, don't they? They're, you know, that sort of...
I mean, you're going to have issues with that with, like, the big two, because you can't have Bruce Wayne getting offed because he's Batman. I know they've done that. It's different with Marvel. Yeah. I mean, I think it's quite a bold experiment they're doing with kind of characters being replaced. But allegedly that's doing really well in the sales, isn't
it? Yeah, and I really like what they're doing with that. They haven't put a foot wrong around that sort of thing for me for a long time.
Yeah.
And then the diversity and everything is great, great, you know. Yeah, I mean, I always think of yours as a bit of a combination between the Knights of Pendragon and Invincible. I know you like Invincible, don't you?
Yeah.
It's got that sort of level of violence sort of thing for me, yeah.
I've got to admit, kind of like, influence-wise, it's a lot of British stuff, like going back to Day Dot, 2000 AD. I know you brought it up as one of your worst comics, but I remember reading Dragon Claws having a big effect. all the Pat Mills stuff with, like, Martial Law. Yeah. I absolutely love Martial Law. It's cracking.
Just great stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. That kind of spin on superheroes. I love superheroes and people spinning it and making it a little different and making you look at it in a way you wouldn't do before. It's great.
Because Vanguard also deals with a lot of the politics, like a lot of the behind-the-scenes sort of stuff. It's not just straight up, here's your superhero and here's their sidekick and here's their grown-up adventures. It is very much, you work in a political landscape going throughout it, don't you? Which changes quite vastly as it goes on.
Well, I figured if you had kind of these super-powered characters working for the government, they would be used as kind of political tools, and it would kind of go hand in hand. So when stuff starts going wrong with the government and other governments around the world, they would very much be used as kind of like players at the forefront.
Yeah.
And there's also like a lot of satire I try and work into the comic.
Yeah.
I mean, I've tried to kind of post stuff on social media, and that's kind of backfired when they've seen, like, there's a character called Maxia, and she's kind of very much a glamour girl superhero character that's employed by a corporation to be their kind of spokeswoman, sell product. And then I posted that and got grief, and it's like, well, she's supposed to be like that. It's kind of like a right. kind of yeah. a critique on that, but
and quite a lot of cake at the moment as well. You're fitting quite a lot of cake into it, I see.
Yeah, also I've waited a long time to get cake into the comic.
That's the goal for any creator.
Grab cake.
Yeah, there should be a cake anthology.
Well, I've recently started working with a guy called Gary, and he's helping us do the writing because there's so much threads kind of going on, and yeah. he put horses into it, and I was like, right, okay, I'm not drawing horses ever.
God, yeah.
You kind of just got to do it.
Yeah, horses. Yeah, I've done a similar thing where I seem to give myself really impossible things to draw constantly.
Well, you do this with kind of, if you're writing your own comic, it's like, oh, our hero faces 10,000 aliens. And it's like, he faces 2 aliens.
Yeah. Yeah. Just make them big.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where can we find that, dude? Where's that going to be? Where's the best place for people?
It's up at vanguardcomic.com. And cool. You can read all 10 issues, all for free. There's tons of sketches, behind the scenes stuff. It's all there for the taking.
It's cool. also available on.
Sorry.
It's also available on Comixology, isn't it?
Yeah, there's issue 1's on Comixology. Cool. 2 and 3 are just getting approved. I'm working on the rest of them, trying to get them okayed. And there's a print version available of the first 5 books that's available from Indie Planet. Unfortunately, if you live in the UK, it costs almost as much to ship the bloody thing as it to buy it.
Oh, maybe you're telling me this, yeah.
It's a ridiculous amount to, something like $20 to ship it over. And it costs just a little bit over that for the book. So right. I'm trying to rectify that. I mean, one of the great things about this is asking people, how would you do that? I know there's a couple of places where you can get like a print on demand in the UK, but it's just having the time to research all this stuff out and do it.
And that's one of the points of this show is just like, you know, this, everyone's got a different way of doing things. And like, there's going to be so many hints and tips, you know. I mean, I only just launched myself into the small press community like May last year. So there's so much, you know, I'm no expert in any way, shape or form. So there's always a new way of doing things and there's so many great people to work with, you know, whether they be printers or web people, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, essentially like for us, this is like a part-time thing, like you're doing it on your free time, downtime. Every moment you're not creating and you're trying to find stuff out is like you're away from the drawing board, away from the computer. So there's only so many hours in a day, so sharing knowledge is absolutely vital.
And especially if you're, especially more if you're small press, you are the promo as well. You are the promotional. So you're you know, if you're writing it and drawing it, you know, you're doing that and you've got to tell people about it. You know, and you constantly have to bang that drum, which, you know, can seem a bit soul destroying sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I was reading that every tweet has a life of 15 minutes. So kind of when you tweet, hey, I've got a new page up, that's 15 minutes and that's into the ether, essentially.
Yeah.
And there's a fine line with too much as well sometimes.
Indeed.
Yeah.
You know, I've spoken to a couple of guys and I've had to say, look, I've had 12 Facebook notifications from you today around this one book that isn't out yet, you know. Slow it down, you're going to put people off sometimes, I think.
Yeah, and that's the one of the tricky things, is finding that fine line.
It is,
It's kind of like you need to schedule in sort of times throughout the day. When should I talk about this?
You do, yeah. And there's definite times to do it as well, you know. Yeah. I mean, I know both you two guys, we tend to sort of tweet quite early in the morning. Mm. Sort of way to work type time, isn't it?
Indeed.
Yeah.
And you do get surprised.
When the coffee's kicking in,
I've just woken up on the train in Brighton or something, and
But you also want to kind of hit it like early afternoon when the Americans are getting up. Yeah. So then they see your stuff as well. So,
Yeah, cool.
So, from my comic, I guess.
Apparently there was quite a slipshod reviewer who described Red Mask as full throttle throughout, a UK BPRD meets Savage Dragon in its levels of violence. I don't know what wanker wrote that, but...
absolute wanker. I don't know what he was talking about. It's basically keeping up appearances in comic book format. No, and... thank you very much for that, by the way, dude. the Red Mask from Mars. What can I say about it? I probably should say something about it, otherwise people won't know what I'm talking about. My little book about a former astronaut who now has an alien permanently strapped to his face, which instead of killing him, has given him a set of powers that he's being used by a sort of private sort of government agency to help defend the UK and the world from impending alien threats. And that sounded like I typed that out and I was reading it, but I'm quite impressed that I managed to do that. Well. Yeah. Whew. Yeah,
because you didn't come across that way to me at all, so you've done well there.
Yeah, that's the basic setup anyway. Big red-headed hero, lots of action, lots of comedy. A lot of people have said it's like a Saturday morning kids cartoon, which is the best thing in the world. When people say that, I'll throw them back and I don't have to tell them.
Mate, it should be a cartoon. I've said that to you before. Yeah. It's got proper good cartoon written all over it. Yeah, definitely.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's very kind of like the style, the design of the character is very kind of iconic. You know, he's only kind of got a couple of issues, and already I can sort of write, that's the Red Mask. I draw people's web characters like sometimes for a laugh, and I can just. I can draw the Red Mask with not even really thinking about it.
Yeah.
Other people have to look it up and check out their design, but the Red Mask is really well done. So yeah.
And those creatures, the ones he's fighting in issue two, look great. A really great design. Yeah.
Yeah. The space shark snake amalgams. Yeah. Whatever.
I'm gonna have to get that off you because I've not read issue two yet. I've not seen that one. So
right.
It's when things really. The pedal gets pushed to the metal, shall we say.
Excellent.
But, yeah, the character was a funny one, and he's kind of like seemingly taken over my life. He was sort of... Back in the... I've always wanted to make comics, like, all the way through my life, but I never really got... no idea was good enough, if you know what I mean. You have an idea, and then you pick it apart, because it's you want it to sort of be like the big thing that's like, oh, I've never heard of that before, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the books that come out from Image these days, you're like, oh my God, it's so obvious, why didn't I think of that? And I spent so many years sort of trying to do that, I just, nothing was getting done. And obviously you got a full-time job and et cetera as well. And I just started to get frustrated. So, and then I was just doodling one day on a sort of post-it note while at my desk at my office, and I drew this little alien vampire, and then I thought, oh, he's quite funny. So the next doodle was then this little guy who was fighting him, and it just came, it was almost like the character just he came onto the page exactly how he is in the comic book. I didn't have to sort of redesign him over and over. It was like, bang, this is who he is. And then I thought, oh, that works quite well. That seems to, I'll do something with this. And I think hopefully the comic has this sort of energy as well. I just went into it, and I just did origin. Yeah, I did an origin issue. I didn't so much tell anyone about it. I didn't sort of say, oh, I'm working on something brilliant. Because if I did that and nothing came of it, then, I probably would have been gutted and I wouldn't be talking on the podcast now. So I just did it. I didn't think about, well, this, this idea is a bit like this. Oh, no, that's like that comic I've read or something. I didn't worry about influences. It was just wearing all its influences on its sleeve and just be what it wants to be. So I busted out this origin issue, which essentially was just going to be, for my own, can I do it? And I found that I liked the character so much that another story started coming in my mind, and I wanted to draw more aliens and take the, develop the characters, because I gave him a team that works around him. And then I started work on the hard slog of doing a 5-issue series, which I launched launched the first issue last year. And now, if you ask me in a couple of years when issue 5 is out, I'll tell you I should have done a 1-shot.
Right.
because it's a lot of work, because I've made that, the story is all mapped out in my head. There are things that are going to be refined, and I find that characters come into their own without you realizing. You're like, oh, this character's, I can write them a bit more. But the storyline structure, the big bad and how things are going to go, that's in place. and I've given myself 5 issues. Now, as we all know, small press is a lot of hard work. So, and I've started penciling issue 3 now, and it's all scripted up, you know. But it's still got to go through the inking stage, and then go, you know. And I letter it as well, so that's another.
Are you traditional, Vince?
Yes, just in every way, shape, and form. I'm a traditional.
Well, now, here we go.
Yeah, I've got some. I've got some Blue Line 11x17 sort of comic book Bristol board pad, which I know there's a lot of guys that don't use. You know, they use like different pads and they mark up the pages, you know, themselves to be the right percentages so that when it shrinks down. But I've got this nice sort of pad. It costs a bit more, but it's got these little bits on the side that say 67%. If you shrink it down to 67%, it will be the comic book size. So I know exactly when I look at that page, I know exactly what's going to look on the final page, as it were. You know, everything bleeding off. So I mean, that's probably the most extravagant thing I've got. But then, other than that, it's pen, ink, caffeine, and prayer. That's what I use to make the comic, basically. And I didn't
realise it was a 5 issue. I didn't know that. Yeah. Sorry, dude. Must have missed that. Yeah.
If you read the inside cover, Tony, it does say part yes. 1 of 5.
I was hoping it was just 2. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
No, it's a shame. Well, are you doing like the BPRD model? Are you going to do like another mini series after that, possibly, or is that the plan? Or
it's interesting. I originally just thought, yeah, I'll do the classic Hellboy BPRD model. Every mini series is its own story, and you know, that could be how it works. I mean, I have thought recently about how I might do a single issue after this story, in the classic sort of, you know, the X-Men issues where you just hung out with the team. Some of the best issues were like they were playing basketball or something. Yeah. And I've thought about doing that as an issue 6, so that, you know, after the excitement of all the big story, let's get to know some characters a bit. But then that's not really like a one-shot sort of thing in itself. That's almost an issue 6, which then got me thinking, well, maybe I just keep it as an ongoing. So that's the beauty of small press. I can kind of do what I want. Because the comic is The Red Mask from Mars, it's not The Red Mask from Mars story title.
Yeah.
I've given I've inadvertently given myself an element of freedom to it. Mm. So who knows? I'm just trying to get these 5 issues done.
You've got a Halloween special as well, though. There's the other thing you do with it, though, isn't there?
Yeah.
I can't remember that was. What was that in, the Halloween thing?
The Halloween anthology was something that Mike Garley, writer of like Killscreen and Samurai Slasher and stuff, he just got a bunch of creators together and just sort of said, we want to just do like this free anthology around Christmas. Not around Christmas, it was Halloween. Around Halloween, you know, you can just download it, gets the name out, you know, all these creators can help pimp it out, etc. Do you want to take part? And I saw it as an opportunity to do another Red Mask story with another big bad, because I've got the main series with the main sort of alien monsters that he's fighting, but with these little shorts that I can do, he can fight another monster. Do you know what I mean? There's all these different things I can do with it, and it'll give another sort of showcase as to what he can actually do. So I did this giant pumpkin monster, which you can download all the shorts after they go in the anthologies and stuff. And they do their mission as they're chosen to do. Afterwards, I always sort of put them free to download on the website. So the fans that are reading the issue, if they want a little bit more of Red Mask, obviously I'm working on issue 3, but if they want a little bit more, then there's another one. I just added another one to the website, which was Ready to Rumble, which is a 4-pager that went in an anthology for the Cardiff Expo.
Okay.
And that's free to that's a 4-pager that's just free to download, and it's all about this giant Don King like promoter that turns up in Cardiff with a giant sort of monstrous fighter and sort of says, I want to fight your greatest champion, and who steps forward is the Red Mask.
Oh, cool. Brilliant.
Yeah, so that's free to download. And I think eventually down the road, you know, if I do enough of these things, I'll collect them together. You know, who knows? You know.
Yeah, lovely. 5 issues plus you got those shorts is going to be a lovely trade, sort of thing. Yeah.
So
brilliant.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, you can get it all from like the Red Mask from Mars.com is where you can get the physical issues and stuff.
Cool.
I'm still looking into like you can get it digital Drive Through Comics.
Have you heard of that website?
Yes, I've heard of that.
You can get the issues on Drive-Thru Comics in digital format. I've uploaded them to Comixology, but still waiting to hear, because I know the submit takes a while to go through.
Yeah, we were discussing this earlier, wasn't we? It does take a little while of time.
Yeah, so but I've uploaded both issues and the origin as well. So, and the origin's free to download from the website anytime you want. So if you just want a taster of what the issue is, it's like when people come to the table, you know, I'm always like, you can download the origin for free. Which is always a good selling point, but then sometimes it doesn't always.
It's not as if we're millionaires from this, is it? Do you know what I mean?
Well, we're doing it for the love, aren't we? Really, you know.
I think so. Yeah,
it's like music. If you're doing it for the money, you are in the wrong game.
Definitely.
So that's me.
No, I mean both great titles. I think the thing that both of you have in common is you take it seriously. You put out books. You know, you don't talk about a book you're going to put out for about a year. You actually put them out. But you also seem to sort of torture yourselves. Having seen, Dan, you sent me a poster, didn't you, recently?
Did I?
You sent me a big, didn't you send me a compilation of a load of characters?
Oh, no, that was me.
Oh, sorry, Vince.
Yeah, sorry, Vince. Yeah, sorry, I mean.
We're so alike, Dan, that Tony can't tell the difference.
Interchangeable.
That's a little small press love letter, actually. I just, just did all, you know. I've always trying to keep the art chops sort of honed, as it were.
That and the sort of equivalent of sort of self-harming from the amount of work you put into it as well. It's just most detailed.
Yeah.
How many characters did you say you had on it? I can't remember now.
23.
Wow.
That was a big A3 page that seemingly took forever. Especially, it'll be out soon. I'm going to release it soon. But the thing it's something that I'm not releasing for any monetary value. I just did it because I wanted to do it.
It's fun.
And basically I just thought, you know, when you see those giant sort of who's the artist in DC that used to do the massive
George Perez,
you know, they've got so many characters in. I thought, well, what about the small press world? You know, all these different characters. Wouldn't that be funny to see all them lined up next to each other? And then I gave myself the stupid idea. Yeah, he should draw that, Vince. Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Yeah, why don't you get all these small press characters and put them all on one page? Yeah. And, you know, I looked through my collection. You know, I referenced material and, you know, I picked out a few. So, of course, Red Mask is on there as well. But I didn't want him to be front and centre and everyone around him. It's a big group shot of, like, everyone's got their own sort of spotlight, as it were. It's just fun drawing other people's characters as well, you know.
Indeed.
There's a Vanguard character on there.
I haven't seen this, so I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah, I'll send you the picture.
Brilliant.
I don't want to say too much, because I don't want to spoil it for some of the creators whose characters are on there. Yeah. So,
right.
Because I know from my experience, like you said, Dan, you drew the Red Mask.
Mm.
When someone else draws your character, it's like the best.
Yeah,
the best thing ever. And I've been fortunate enough, and I'm honoured every time people do it, you know, whether it's just fans that I've just met in shows and stuff or other creators, you know, they've actually drawn the Red Mask. They've, you know, I like this character, here he is. And just seeing that, it doesn't matter who you are, the fact that you've taken the time to draw my character is the most heartwarming and touching thing ever. I'm like, oh my God, I feel like, oh, I've made it. Every time I see one of those books, I've made it. You know, someone cares enough about this character.
There's one comic I read called 3 Minute Max, which is absolutely brilliant. I have to give that a big shout out 1 week. But the artist on that, called Max Forward, he did like a digital painting of one of my characters, Kingsword, just for Christmas. And it's amazing. I was just absolutely like blown away. And to only echo what you said, it's kind of like, it's like validity that, yes, this is good. Yeah. People like it. And
I think it's easier when you've got a series with a character. If you're doing like sort of real life, if you're doing like The Walking Dead, that sort of comic, you know, unless there's a real standout character, they're all just human beings. But thankfully, we've got characters that people think, oh yeah, they're cool to draw. I mean,
you've got sort of iconic characters, and you both are. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And that was one of the things that struck me, like, when I went to shows, there were so many visual characters. There's so much different stuff. You know, it's not the same every time. There's no, it's not like a wave of Batman rip-offs. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that'll be coming soon, this little
awesome
piece of work.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I was going to make an Image 90s rip there, but I won't. about loads of characters talking looking like Batman.
Also in this picture, I think I've drawn as feet. I've drawn no feet. I don't think there's any feet on the picture whatsoever.
Fuck feet. What's that
about? Yeah. Feet, you know?
Just clouds.
just pouches everywhere. Yeah.
As if anyone's under any kind of illusion that we're talking about now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, if anyone knows who we're talking about, I like the geezer, but he's not into my taste. Yeah. But yeah, he's all right. Do you know what I mean?
It's the same with me because I grew up on the books.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You know.
Yeah.
So many good memories reading those books.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. So, cool.
Speaking of expos and conventions and stuff, is it LCAF? Is that what you went to recently?
Yeah, I've had a few. It's been a bit of a sort of flurry last few weeks.
You cannot get enough.
I know. It's good. LCAF, East London Comics and Arts Festival. It's run by No Brow Press. Have you guys read any No Brow Press stuff?
It rings a bell.
Lost Property by Andy Poyagi. It was one of the books. Spectators by Victor Housonneau. They're probably the more intellectual end of the our sort of crowd. I'll put it that way. But no less brilliant. I mean, yeah. I love their stuff. I'd buy everything by them. Shout out to Angela from No Brow because she sorted me out a press pass. I tried to go last year actually and write a piece for the site, and I couldn't actually get in because it was sort of hipsterville outside in Mayor Street in Hackney in East London.
You had your trainers on and they wouldn't let you through the front
door. Yeah, hoodie trainers. Yeah, I didn't have a pipe, so I couldn't get through the door. But it is really nice. I have to say, the guys there, just to give a few shout outs. So it's the Avery Hill Publishing guys, who you know, I love those guys, and they put out just incredible stuff. Tilly Walden, it was the second day. She'd actually launched the end of summer, the previous day, gosh. But we're selling it, so she's sketching that for me. The aforementioned Adam Cadwell was there, who we mentioned earlier, who showed me some pages from SFX Slam, which is a Vertigo book. He's just been picked up by Vertigo.
Nice. He did Blood Blokes, didn't he?
He did, which is superb.
I love Blood Blokes. It's such a... Have you read that, Dan?
No, I'm not familiar with that one. I'm putting that on my list.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, really funny. I've known him for a couple of years. I did an interview with him at an old website I was at a couple of years ago, and really nice guy. And it's great to see he's sort of been picked up by Vertigo. Mm. And he was sharing a table with Rachel Smith, who does The Rabbit, which I sent you two guys as a possible chat subject soon.
Yeah.
Yes, you did. Yeah, great little book actually.
Yeah, and she did House Party before that, and she's superb. I mean, great talent. Victor Housonneau was there. The guy who did The Spectators, who I just is probably my favourite book of the last 10 years. No word of a lie.
Well,
he's a French guy, so I sort of gushed at him and was all excited to see him, and did my usual sort of 40-something fanboy, and he didn't understand a word of it, so that was quite good. Tiny Pencil is Amber Hsu, who was there, who puts out this sort of grotesque anthology, the sort of big A4 spined anthology. It's just amazing stuff. Really, really nice. We'd chatted before, but it's the first time I had a proper chat with her. Gareth Brooks, who's does anyone know Gareth?
Isn't he a country and western star?
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's him. Yeah, he was weirdly at LCAF. Yeah, he seemed a better place, but with that cowboy hat, he fitted right in Mayor Street.
Gone for a massive career change, but good on him.
Yeah, good man. Yeah, well, he's an old table mate of mine, and he's done a couple of books recently for Avery Hill. He's done a couple of books. He's a bit of an award-winning guy, but he and I used to share a table back in the 90s at Bristol when I had the now infamous Cat Slater's Got a Penis comic out. And he's a good guy. It's good to see. Sorry,
I put that on the list. Cat Slater.
Yeah, add that to the list. Yeah, you'll never find it. It's been I think the BBC have seized them all. But he is sharing a table, and I can't remember the lady's name, but I bought a comic, and while I was chatting to her, she was sort of cutting bits of her hair off, and I said, to ask, but are you cutting your hair? And she went, yeah, she says, I sellotape it into all the books that I sell. So I've got a bit of DNA in one of her books. It's quite nice if I ever get stuck at a crime scene.
How much hair has she got, and how many books did she have? Because if she sells, does she want to sell all of them?
I don't know. Just sort of casually snipping it while I was talking to her. It's a bit strange.
What was the rationale behind this? I'm trying to think.
I don't know. Like just a little bit of the personal aspect to the book she sold.
I tell you what's brilliant about it. We're talking about it right now.
Yeah, very true.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Yeah. And to be fair, her books are quite funny. Funny little sort of slice of life things, you know.
Yeah.
Who else was there? I mean, it was really a bit of just... if you read down the tubes and you see the books I review, the sort of certain end of it, they were all there. Ricky Miller was there. Catriona Chapman, who works, she does a book called Cat Press or something. I can't find it now. But yeah, she was there. She had a good chat with her. She wrote a comic about riding a bus through South London and getting stuck on it. And it was really good, really, really interesting. Mm. But it's one of those sort of community, not industry events, you know, poetry, not blockbuster type events. And but yeah, it was really, really fun. And I saw a hipster scout. I saw a guy who was a hipster, but he was dressed as a scout from the sort of 1950s, which was a nice moment. And then he caught me trying to take a picture of him. But that was good.
Mm. So what was it? Hipster cosplay? Or was it?
No, I think he just thought that was cool. It did, to be fair, it looked okay. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Probably not a look I'd go for.
Yeah. I think you could put it off.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, mate. Yeah, to be fair. And then Dave White from Ravy Hill walked past me, said hello to me in the bar, and then went in the toilet. And then I noticed that he retweeted a load of tweets of mine. And then I caught him coming out. I said, did you just retweet me while you were on the toilet? And he went, yeah, it's the only time I've had all day. Like that.
That's me time.
That's where I do my best work. I recommend it. It's like a day. I wouldn't do. I don't think it was a 2-day event. I don't think it would take 2 days. But yeah, it's good. Yeah, really good.
Cool.
Yeah.
And we've got the Cardiff Expo as well.
Yeah, Cardiff Expo, which was last Saturday, CICE, which used to be. I think Cardiff Independent Comic Expo. I think it was something they used to do back in the day before Showmasters or someone came along and just, stole their thunder, you know, because it's very much all about sort of Indian small press and, like, you know, giving them some love. And, Mike Allwood, associate producer in the anthology here, he decided to kickstart it again. I believe that's correct that he kickstarted it. When I say kickstarted, he didn't do a Kickstarter campaign. He just decided to do another.
In the old traditional sense of the word.
Exactly. You can't say anything these days without it being taken out of context. So he decided to start it again, put it on again. And Cardiff's got a pretty sort of vibrant scene. There's so many small press creators that come from Cardiff.
Right.
A lot of the people that I've gotten to know at like shows, especially like shows like Bristol. And like Melksham and stuff like that, because they're a bit more from the sort of southwest side. So there were so many great creators there. Like, I mean, there was an anthology that they put together, especially for the show, which is where Ready to Rumble, the Red Mass story, appeared in.
Okay.
So there was the likes of Dan Harris and Chris Carter, who do Loose Scannon. They were in there. Sarah Millman put a Heart of Time. Danny Abram.
I love a little Hard Time stuff. It's really nice.
Yeah, great stuff. She was there with her book as well, which got successfully kickstarted. So I picked up my copy of that, and that's a great...
Nice.
Yeah, nice book. Heart of Time is a webcomic worth checking out, and also she's putting out some... On her table, she's got, like, great badges, and, like, the books look really nice, you know. And she's just great to talk to, actually. She's become quite a good mate, so... So we've got Jim Banfield, Joe Glass, Gavin Mitchell, Mike Stock, who... pretty much letters everything in the world. PJ Montgomery, Steve Penfold, the artist of Moon. Have you read Moon?
Oh, I have, yeah, I have.
Yeah, he was in there as well. Yeah, so there was
the Moon for a head. Yeah,
says it all.
I've not heard of this one. This is a list as well. Maybe.
Yeah, you're going to have quite a list.
Up to five already.
Yeah.
I can be kind of like the... everyman listener who's kind of not up the speed of it, and I keep asking questions.
Yeah, well, the great thing is we're all going to discover so much more that we have to read that we're going to be broke and have a massive pile of books that we'll never get through by the end of this.
It's all right, comics are cheap. It's fine. They're 10p each, aren't they? As I keep being told by people. Yeah.
In what world? And there was another story by Cian Jefferson, who was on the table next to me. I believe I've said the name right. I'm sorry, Sian, if I didn't. She was on the table next to me, so first time I'd met her, so it's good to meet another con buddy. But the show itself, which was in the Cardiff Masonic Hall, I don't know why I said it like that. Masonic Hall. One-day event, sort of like small, but such a good atmosphere. Everyone that walked through the door was really nice, you know, had some great chats with people. The Red Mask and Stalkerville did really well. Stalkerville, my other book, which is a bit of a hard sell. The people of Cardiff sort of like that. So, and
I've got literally got that in front of me, Stalkerville, at the moment. Yeah, I've got it in front of me.
Stalkerville was something I did. Another bit of shameless self promo now. Stalkerville was something I did in the days of MySpace. Do you remember, before it became an apocalyptic wasteland. It was just a you know, like how you have Garfield, those sort of strips, Liberty Meadows, those kind of like one gag thing. And I was just posting it Monday to Friday, just in sort of a blog, and it got a bit of a cult little following. And it was a simple sort of a vector sort of comic strip about the basic setup is it's a neighborhood that's full of like murderers, serial killers, monsters, and it's just their day-to-day mundane lives. So rather than the Red Mask being like a big, you know, multi-million-dollar movie, sort of like explosive action adventure, this one was just mundane, aren't these people idiots kind of humour. which gathered, and because it's even though they look quite cute in their own way, it's a grown-up strip. And it's got.
When I reviewed it for the site, I remember it was almost like a bit of a moment on Down the Tubes, because we'd normally before that didn't do adult content that much, and I had to say to John, look, you know, I really like this. Any chance of putting it up? And he said, okay, then. And he ended up liking it, but yeah, it's quite adult here. There's a little bit in between us. Am I going to go too far by saying that? Or
you could say that.
Oh, interesting.
If Friday the 13th meets In Between Us, I've never thought about that as a pitch, and I'm going to use that from now on.
You should put some up on the Facebook page, Vince. That'd look great. And plus, they're a great size, aren't they, for that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a little... With this book, now it's an actual book. I had the, you know, when MySpace just imploded, and they were just sort of sat, sort of gathering dust, you know, on the hard drive. And like, I had some friends who loved it, and like some creators who were like, used to read it and just sort of said, oh, that should totally come back. And I thought, but I'd moved on to other things. I'd moved on to the Red Mask and stuff. But it was always niggling away at me. Do you know what I mean? These little characters are like, yeah, you should collect us. You should put us in a book. And so I listened to them. And then one day I decided to sit down, you know, go through the artwork, put in new fonts, you know, because obviously it was just done for web and, you know, it was done off the cuff. I decided to look at it a little bit more, tidy it up, give it an intro, give it an outro sort of thing, you know, bits about the characters, and I created a little A5 book, which is it's kind of like a coffee table sort of book, isn't it, Tony? It's sort of like very much sort of pick it, and because of the nature of the strip, it's pick up, read, have a laugh, or be disgusted and probably defriend me from every possible social media website. And you know,
that's when I realised you truly understood me when I read your book.
Yeah. One thing, Vince, now when you do kind of Red Mask stuff, do you have more of an understanding, right, one day this might go to print and you're kind of designing it with that in mind? Do you know what I mean? Whereas you put together Stalkerville, we're just like, oh, it's going to go on the web. But you hadn't actually considered. I mean, going back and retooling web stuff for print is quite laborious, I've found, at least.
That's a good question, because... obviously, when I designed them, the four panels, I didn't think about the size of the page. You know, with the Red Mask, it's everything's designed, you know, to fit in this, whether it be the inside cover, the adverts on the back. You know, I'm a designer by trade anyway, so you know, everything has a thought process going through it. But like you say, when you're doing a web comic and you're just posting up, it's like, here's a funny joke, bang, it's there, and like, you know, and then move on to the next one. So when it came
to that panel, that three or four panel, get in, set it up, tell the joke, set up, isn't there? There's a real, like, music to it almost, you know?
Big time.
And it's usually got a certain rhythm. It's like, you know, it's like bang, 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 laugh. You know, that's how it sort of sets up. I mean, sometimes it's a bit more difficult if you're trying to say something funny earlier in the panel, because you have to be funnier at the end panel.
You've got kind of got to top it at the end.
Yeah, and Stalkerville's got a lot of that where, you know, because the characters are so ridiculous, they're normally saying something like completely out of this world anyway. So it was interesting going back and look at it. I mean, thankfully, because it was a lot of vector work, you know, it wasn't pen and ink.
It was
from a computer. I could then, you know, take it, shrink it, and, you know, I wasn't dealing with like lower res JPEGs or, you know, scans of things. I was dealing with artwork that I could then sort of lay out. The trickier thing was to try and, I wanted to put it in an A5 sort of document.
Okay.
And because it follows a format of each week had like a story. So you got like Monday to Friday. So there was five. And so it had that rhythm that sort of like it started with these two characters and it would end on Friday with these two characters, and it would have sort of like a mini story going throughout that week. Okay. Now when you're collecting these things, and I wanted to do it A5, it was like, how many do I fit to a page? As it worked out, I've got like two strips to a page. So it always means like you can start two on the left, two on the right, and then like the last strip will start on the page afterwards. And because of that nature, it sort of evened itself out and everything seemed to flow okay. I was quite lucky in that respect. And I took the opportunity to put in a couple of strips that never actually went on the web. They were, you know, because I had a long list of things I was going to post that just never made it. So the final sort of sign-off strips in the book, you can't see them anywhere else but in the book. Not that anyone will know that anyway. But, it's a harder sell because of the nature of it. And it was nice at Cardiff Expo because people come up, look at it and just think, that's quite cool. And I'd say, do you have a sick and twisted sense of humour? and if they go, oh yeah, definitely, then you're going to like this, you know? And I think that because of the nature of it, you know, immediately, they won't get it. If they say, then you just think, stop, don't read it now. Don't buy this for your kids, which is, it's almost shooting yourself in the foot, really, that you're killing an audience. But it is a grown-up book.
Well, you wouldn't want to kind of sell something to someone who's going to pass it.
And I put that on the table, you know, this is for mature audiences only. I do make, because they've got like a sort of cutesy sort of look to them in some twisted kind of way, you have to be clear, you know, this is for mature audiences.
But an anecdote, I was, years ago when I was early teens, I remember going to a Comic Con up London, and there was like me and a couple of friends, and I bought some comics that were essentially like A3 folded in half and stapled that the guy had printed, and I just thought, oh, that was pretty good, and like bought two issues of it. And on the train home, it was just like, this is unbelievable, it's pornography. And it was like, there's no warning. No, the guy was just like, oh, just selling units, like bang 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 bang.
Yeah, there's a few so quid. Yeah, it's kind of pay for the table. Yeah.
So kind of I think that's kind of just the right thing to do, to say.
Yeah, that's quite an interesting thing. Like, you know, when people come to your table, obviously we want to do well. We want to sell our books, and we want, you know, as many people to go out the door with your books. But at the same time, you don't want to missell anything. I don't want to, you know. I mean, if people walk away with something, especially in this day and age, people walk away with something, they can quite easily post it online and just sort of say, "I can't believe, you know, they sold me this."
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which may be a small comment, but you know, things can just blow up. God knows
how it says.
Yeah,
not too recently. I've had to add on to the Vanguard site header. Like, it's got stuff in it that's kind of a violent nature, and like you should sort of. There's nothing dodgy, but there's people getting killed, shot, punched, whatever.
Yeah,
and if someone just came onto the site and clicked on the image, like, whoa, wasn't expecting to see that.
Yeah.
I went back to
slow news day. Yeah, sorry, in a slow news day, people pick up on crap, don't they? You know what I mean? So they
Have you suffered like from that in some ways by not having like for mature audiences? Has anyone ever picked up on it? Or was it something that you genuinely thought, right, I better do this?
Oh, well, there's a couple of instances actually. I had a scene earlier on in the comic in issue 2. That I did at the time, and I was kind of like, didn't really consider it too much. And then years down the line, it bugged me. It was like an itch. And then Tony actually mentioned it, and I went back and amended it and felt so much better for getting rid of it. It's a bit too much of a graphic scene.
Yeah, and you're then, a problem for that, mate. I've got to tell you, we chatted about it quite a lot, didn't we, at the time?
You know when someone kind of, you have an issue with something, and then someone just says you considered that, and it was like, well, yeah, I should do that's not right, and so I went and changed that. But then it was on the last issue, I think, or the issue 9 of Vanguard is just basically fighting from page 1 to page 30 and people dying, and
such a great issue. It's so, you know, I was reading it every time I was clicking on, I kept sort of tweeting you, sort of saying, dude, what are you doing to me? Jesus.
That was like the when I first started it, like four or five years ago, that's where I'm heading, this scene. So that was a big payoff of all these characters kind of colliding together and it all going down. But people mentioned that some of this stuff's a bit graphic, and I was like, yeah, I don't want to kind of pull myself back artistically, but I'm definitely going to put something to say, here be dragons.
Yeah.
I remember I put a warning up on it. I used to write a lot on a blog, and I put, you know, you can put an adult click through, can't you, on blogs these days?
Yeah.
And as soon as I put that up, it was dropped. It dropped by about 2/3, the figures on the site.
Really?
So it's a balance, isn't it? It really is, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to, I can agree with that, not putting a, I'd not put a click through. It's literally just like a line of text.
Yeah.
And, there's nothing on there that you couldn't see a million times worse without having any warnings.
Oh God, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So, that's what I find funny about a lot of the faux outrage these days. And they go, "Oh, you know, Spider Woman was bending over," and I think feel like saying, "Have you seen what's on the internet these days?
Have you been on the internet?"
Yeah, yeah. Yes, yeah.
I clicked into a comic character's name was hashtagged that I drew, and I clicked on it like Venom, and I clicked on it, and then in kind of like the Twitter feed, there's pornographic imagery of like Venom and Mary Jane, and it's like, well, hold on. Yeah.
I knew that drawing and might get out eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of, you will kind of walk that subtle line of giving people a heads up, but not driving away from what you're doing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's a balance, and is it needed for the story, and is it the right thing, and, you know, what am I doing with it? And there's all sorts of questions, as there has been in the history of all art, isn't there? You know?
Yeah, I mean, I know certainly with Red Mask,
we just do a bit careful. We just do good blokes, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we discussed about Comixology. You've got to be careful with the swear words.
Yeah.
We haven't sworn too much in this episode, but I think you can use one fuck in the 17 rating in Comixology, and if you go above that, you're putting yourself into the category of pornography, and
so essentially,
you're not getting read.
Yeah, yeah.
Like. So that people just won't go for that, I don't think.
So
I did enjoy the email back and forward we had, which was something like, should we swear? And then, Dan, you came back with fuck yeah on the podcast. And then I put a certain word on it that neither of you replied to. I was quite proud of.
Because you will always be the one to push it too far. You are our Keith Moon, essentially.
Technically, it was two words, but I joined them together. That was fine.
Classic combo. Classic pairing. Yeah. But like, I've got the latest issue I'm working on, sticking onto Comixology. There's a crowd scene, and I've got all these kind of like words in the background, like, you effing C's, F off. And it's like, well, I've got to go back and change all this. And find just substitutes.
Just for the dollar there, look, you see.
Yeah.
when you choose to write that in an issue, is that just like because this is naturally how they would speak?
Well, it's a crowd scene in Croydon, infamous where they had a riot a couple of years ago, and if you got an angry drunken crowd shouting things at someone they dislike, there's going to be some swearing. Yeah. I mean, that's
well, you hear that at a gig, let alone a bloody riot.
Yeah. Have you been to Croydon? Christ, you know.
Yeah. I used to live in South Croydon. I think I moved out of the area just before the riots happened. So there's no link there.
I was in Croydon a few months ago, and a lady sat next to me in Starbucks, and she had a balloon tied to her head. Yeah.
Yeah, so
it's not the most normal places.
No.
Yeah.
Why was it there? Did you?
I don't know. She's sort of mental. No, sorry, that's the wrong word. She was a bit strange, and she had a balloon tied to her head.
Beat that. She's probably the first person to ask me about this balloon I'm going to physically attack.
So. Yes! If anyone tries to burst this, it's going to kick off. Yeah.
Well, I'm never taking my balloon outside again. You've ruined it for me.
So, you guys got any kind of recommendations? What you kind of been reading? Have we already done that? Or
no, I don't think so. We got sort of the end ones, have we? Or...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, what would you recommend at the moment, Tony?
Oh,
because you're reading, you're reading a million things at once.
Yeah.
You know? Like you say, you're reviewing a lot of stuff. So,
yeah, I do get a lot of stuff sent through.
What should
Firstly,
we read?
Sorry, dude.
What should we read?
Oh, okay. Firstly, it'll kill me if I don't recommend it, and it is the best thing that Marvel are putting out at the moment. By one of my best mates is Planet Hulk. So if you're not reading that, kill yourself. It's really good.
And there we go. It's been a pleasure, folks. This was the first and only episode of the Awesome Comics Podcast. Now, I agree with you there. I read the first two issues today, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
So
I've got War World Hulk and Planet Hulk, like the trade paperbacks. How was this one a continuation from
it's,
that?
It's part of the whole new thing, you know, the Battle Worlds section.
Oh yes,
Secret Wars at Marvel, and so you basically got Cap as basically Conan riding Devil Dinosaur across the desert that is filled up with different versions of the Hulk.
Sold.
It's just foot on. Yeah. I can see excellent. A Red Mask crossover. Yeah. And the police in this sort of planet are all Thors. It's really well done. And Sam Humphries, who's writing it, is really on fire, and it's just fun. Every single issue is just fun.
I can honestly say, Dan, that I haven't had a chance to catch up on all the other Secret Wars stuff, all the main series yet. I think I've only read the first two issues of that. So I went into this Planet Hulk cold, and you don't need to read anything else. You can just those two issues is a story by itself. So great stuff, fantastic stuff.
And can I do one more? Do you mind?
No, go for it.
And the other one is Last Days of Nobodies, which is a book about Van Gogh and his last days. Small press book out of Avery Hill again, Avery Hill Publishing, by a guy called Mike Medaglia, who is just really on fire at the moment. Just real quiet, ennui, sort of just moments in the life of different people who died at an early age, although were geniuses. And the first one's about Van Gogh. You can get it, it's digitally. You can get it on, there's a Tumblr, Last Days of Nobodies, which you can read it all on, or you can buy the print version. And it's this sort of textured, sort of pastely coloured, poetic poetry on a page kind of book, and I really love it. And Mike is a real talent, really, really great guy. I've got a page of it on my wall here. It was just like a real moment where he liked my review so much, he sent me a page. It was like, I was so pleased. It was like, you know, that's why I write them, you know.
Oh, awesome.
Just so people think, and it's really nice. So I picked that up from Avery Hill Publishing.
What about you, Dan? What are you reading at that? Have you had a chance to catch up on
any of them? I tell you what, recently there was a girl that worked in my company that I work in as an intern, and she found out she does her own comic book. And I picked up two issues of that off her called Baggio Manor, by her pen name's Tally Bertram. And it's great. It's kind of just wacky kind of police antics, very kind of manga stuff, but quite adult and full on. She's literally launched issue 3 online, I think, yesterday. But if you go to kind of like MCM, stuff like that, she does those kind of conventions. I would heartily recommend it. It's a great read, very fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
As for me, what have I been reading? Apart from the Cardiff comics that I picked up, this week I managed to get caught up on a webcomic called Bearmageddon. Have you heard of this?
Nice title. No.
Yeah. It's actually by... the names escape me at the moment, but the creator of Axe Cop. Have you heard of
this? Yeah. Chris Burnham.
Yeah. He's... I think they created Bearmageddon, which is like a huge... imagine a zombie apocalypse sort of story of, like, you know, everything kicking off, riots and stuff. But it's mutant bears. There are bears with tentacles, there are winged bears, and they're all... the bears just decide to turn on humanity. But obviously, if you know things like Axe Cop, it's got that humour going throughout it. It's pretty full on. You know that, you know, there is blood and violence. And I know, obviously, being a webcomic, it had its sort of periods where it stopped and started, which they just got back, and I think they're going on a hiatus. But I thoroughly recommend reading it from the beginning, because that's essentially what I did, because I just thought Bearmageddon, that's the best name I've ever heard in my entire life.
Is that bearmageddon.com?
Yes, which has an amazing sort of web banner. It's all designed nicely.
There's a couple of print issues as well. I think they put a couple of issues out, I think, didn't they?
They might have. Yeah. I mean, a lot of web comics do, don't they? They get to a certain point and then they put out a print edition.
Yeah.
But this is just well worth.
Sorry, it reminds me of that film I just saw it the other day, Zombievers. Sounds a bit like that.
You've watched that, have you?
Yeah, that's terrible, but good. Yeah.
Yeah. Another fantastic name.
Quality.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that kind of humour running throughout it. But it's like all the best horror comedies, if you ask me. The horror is sort of deadly serious. It's the characters and the setup which provide the comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, like classic sort of Shaun of the Dead and things like that. If you think about it, the zombies are always a serious threat, but the people are funny. So, and that's how the best horror comedies work, if you ask me. So, Bermageddon, check that out. And I'd be remiss. I'm currently lettering the second issue of Descending Outlands, by my colorist Sean Dobie, who colors the Red Mass from Mars, which makes it look all pretty. I think we can agree. It's it makes me look good, thank God. But yeah, he's going to be launching his second issue of Descending Outlands, hopefully at Melksham Comic Con at the end of August. So
I might go to that. You know, I heard it was good last year.
It's a cracking convention. Yeah, I will. No doubt, we'll talk more about it on the lead up. Definitely on the lead up to it.
Yeah,
I'll probably get Sean on to talk about the book actually. But
it's great. It's a very sort of Firefly book, isn't it?
I mean, when he launched it, it was a sort of that Guardians of the Galaxy moment. He got that real sort of zeitgeist. So it's like, if you like Firefly and Guardians of the Galaxy, it's this kind of thing. Yeah. But the story itself goes off in completely different directions, and it's not, you know, I mean, the second issue is looking gorgeous. So I mean, I'm currently on the lettering stage, so it's my job to get all the sound effects looking mint and everything. So that's going to be launched, no doubt digital as well as print at the same time, I believe.
Nice.
And end of August. So yeah, check out descendingoutlands.com, and where you can download the first, I think there's a first chapter. He's got it in chapters because it's almost like he's going to collect it into a big graphic novel later on down the road. But you can read the first chapter for free. And it's well worth a look. So that's what I recommend. Bears in space. Cool. Not bears in space, but bears and space.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, Tony, we was mentioning just before the show about my interest in cactuses.
I'll tell you, Dan, are you interested in cactuses?
Hell yeah.
Well, if you're tired of ramming a cactus up your anus at all...
Never.
Okay, but maybe one day too many times is enough. Why not listen
I've been halfway through doing it all through this podcast, so carry on.
Well, if you do get bored with it, guys, you know, why not listen to Trash Compactor, the podcast, which is available on iTunes. It's a mostly Star Wars centric podcast that's free to download, so have a listen.
Awesome. I always need more podcasts in my life.
Yeah.
They keep me sane. Most of them are like comic books or God knows whatever. But this is fact. The Red Mask would not exist without podcasts. So
yeah, I love podcasts. They're great for the training and stuff. Yeah.
And they're quite inspiring, which we hope, folks, that this show will continue to be as we go on.
Yeah.
We're going to have plenty of guests, and there's going to be more of this sort of crazy kind of chat all the way through. But let us know what you think, and if there's any topics you want us to talk about, any recommendations, any conventions you've heard of that we might not have heard of. You can see from this podcast that we keep mentioning things that the other person hasn't heard of, so we're always ready to hear about
mainly me.
Dan lives in a cave like Gollum, and he needs to know what's happening in the outside world. We need to send him messages.
It's kind of like Gollum without the ring, which is kind of like this sad, lonely creature.
Oh, dear. Yeah. So
you're going to do Nottingham. You promised to do Nottingham with us, haven't you? Oh, that's a legally binding agreement. Yeah.
You heard it here first, folks. Dan Butcher is leaving the cave. I repeat, he's leaving the cave.
Going north of Watford Gap.
Yeah. So if there's anything you want us to talk about, then you can get in touch with us in several different ways, because we set up lots of different ways to do it. You can email us at awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. And you can check out the Facebook, which is facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast, which we've already got quite a few people liking the page, which we're very grateful for.
Good. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah.
And also you can follow us on the Twitter @awesomecomicspod. So be sure to add us up there. And as for us lovely gents, how can you follow us? What's your Twitter handle, Tony?
Mine's @EZ. It's Ezo, yes. So it's EZOHYEZ. Or you can find me on Facebook, or you can find me in the review section at downthetubes.net.
If you see a picture of Steven Seagal, then you've probably found Tony.
Yeah, you've hit pay dirt.
Yeah. What about you? What about you, Dan? Where can they find you?
On Twitter, it's @VanguardComic.
Nice.
And Vanguard, it's got his own Facebook page, etc. That it's rarely used, but yeah, you can
get on it. Let's get using it.
Yeah, let's get using it. Fire questions at me.
Yeah, like, when are you leaving the cave, Dan? I'm so sorry. I've started some sort of hashtag meme. And if you want to chat to me, throw abuse my way, etc. Please don't throw me abuse. I can't believe I just said that.
Throw him abuse, please.
Yeah, at Just the Diablo. And you can check out my comic, The Red Mouse from Mars, at theredmousefrommars.com. Last plug of the day. So, yeah, thanks very much for checking us out, folks. We truly appreciate it. And join us next week, because God knows what will happen.
Yeah.
No, we're going to get a guest on, I think, next week. Isn't that right, Foot?
Yeah, I think it's a plan. Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, we'll get someone else on to talk about what they're doing and how they do it. So, thank you very much. And from Tony, me and Dan, stay awesome.
See you later.
See ya.